Blog Talk Radio.
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I won't tell you.
Two passages that I would like to quote. It's in the 16th chapter of that book. Behold, I make all things new. Former things are passed away. I'm sure that most of you have read that arresting little story from the pen of Washington Irving entitled Rip Van Winkle. The one thing that we usually remember about the story is that Rip Van Winkle slept 20 years. But that is another point in that little story that is almost always completely overlooked. It was a sign in the end from which Rip went up in the mountain for his long sleep. Rip Van Winkle went up in the mountain. The sign had a picture of King George III of England. When he came down 20 years later, the sign had a picture of George Washington, the first president of the United States. Rip Van Winkle looked up at the picture of Washington, but in looking at the picture, he was amazed. He was completely lost. He knew not who he was. And this reveals to us that the most striking thing about the story of Rip Van Winkle is not merely that Rip slept 20 years, but that he slept through a revolution. While he was peacefully snoring up in the mountain, a revolution was taking place that at points would change the course of history. was asleep. Yes, he slept through a revolution. One of the great liabilities of life is that all too many people find themselves living amid a great period of social change. And yet they fail to develop a new attitude, a new mental response that the new situation demands. They end up sleeping through a revolution. There can be no gainsaying of the fact that the great revolution has taken place in the world today. In the sense that it is a triple revolution. That is a technological revolution with the impact of automation and cybernation. And that is a revolution in weaponry with the emergence of atomic and nuclear weapons of warfare. And that is the human rights revolution with the freedom explosion that has taken place all over the world. Yes, we do live in a period where change is not taking place. That is still the voice crying in the midst of time, saying the whole, I think all things do. All things are passing away. However, anything new comes into history brings with it new challenges and new opportunities.
Spirits are coming to take us out. It seems like the evil spirits to want to master me and you. But we have to stay focused in God. We have to keep our minds stayed on God. And I want to thank First House of Prayer for what they did to bless the First House of Prayer. And I want to get that. And we are going through the month. We want to the month to deal with the angels that watch over you, the angel of May. And once you deal with the angels that come, you deal with June, Muriel. I'm praying for I'm praying for you, Uriel, and every letter, every telephone call this morning, I'm praying for you. We want to get ready here. We need to get ready because I want to motivate you this morning. I come to motivate you and stimulate you. Psalm 654, seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. With all the killing and the shooting that's going on across this nation, somebody's not doing their job as a politician. They won't ban the gun. They keep letting the gun makers make guns. And it's more violent in America than anywhere in the world. Let me say this. It's more violent right here in America than evil in Russia fighting. There's more killing going on right here every day. You're part of it. St. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his rights. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. When you're a soldier, you got to stand and fight against the evil spirit, the evil laws of the devil. You have to be able to do that. Psalms 119, believe that east, west, north, and south. And I'm praying for you, Ms. Pearl, I'm praying for you. I'm also praying for you, Sister Addie. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Sister Carolyn Green, Florence. I'm praying for you. And all those on the trip, I'm praying for success for you. All is well. I want to take this time for you that might want to send a donation. Those that want to see Calvin Ministry. That's SteveAbrahamUnified.com. You can be God-given. Those that might want to try out, go to my post office box. Post office box 289097. Carver, Illinois, 6016. You can't be God-given. I'm going to pray this morning for your finance for the rest of this month. And you have a big free home so you can pay your bills with all the stuff that's going on. I'll be praying for you. I'm taking this time to pray for you. I'm taking this time to let you know that God is able. Well, God, we come right now. And those that want to hear, those that want to plan to be, if you got a need, you got to go to my website, www.abraham.com, and make your pledge. You want to do it online, go to your PayPal, you want to do it, write a letter, post office box 289097 Chicago, North, 6068. You can't be God-given. Father God, we come. Somebody in a dying street for finance. Somebody right now needs money to pay the house and those coming in. Pay the light bill, gas bill, phone bill. But I just pray right now that through divine word, all the trouble, all go belong to you. We ask for you this morning, and this Sunday morning, release the finance. 100-fold. Say him that gives 100-fold. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Touch somebody right now. Let that long go through. Let that market go through. In the name of the Father, I decree this morning your financial overflow. I decree this morning whatever you need, God, he's going to give it to you. The storm of life is passing over you. And I want to say to you this morning, whatever you've been going through, the depression, what you've been born in. You can understand that. You lost your house, lost your husband, lost your wife. You lost everything, and you said, Bishop, what happened? And I want to tell you this morning, the storm is over. You lost everything, but God kept your mind in peace with prayer. And the storm that's raging has passed you by. So, you lost your husband, you lost your... It seemed like all that you have worked for, the devil cut with me. It reminded me of Job. And Job said, I'm going to wait on the Lord. You said, I lost a loved one. They said, you lost the husband, lost the daughter. And she said, I lost my heart. I'm leaping outside under the bridge. But I want you to know this morning, the storm is over. I want you to know this morning, all is still well. I want you to remain known that God will keep you in the land of the living. I want you to know the storm is over. Lift them hands up and say, the storm of life is over. Wherever you might be sitting in Mississippi. You might be sitting in Texas. I love Texas. People think you're doing good, but your mind, that suicide spirit I moved, that murder spirit I cast it out in the name of the Almighty God. I want to say to you this morning, man, the storm is over. Woman, the storm is over. You lost everything. But God said, I'm going to replace all that the devil stole. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to give it back to you. Job lost everything. Second in sackcloth of ashes. But he said, the storm is over, Satan. Go back to hell where you come from. I'm going to lift the man of the Almighty God. I want to let you know this morning, that storm, that whirlwind in your life, it's over, Francis. It's over, Donna. It's over, Debbie. It's over, Mary. It's over, Gina. I want to tell you, George, it's over. Larry, it's over. David, it's over. Dwight, it's over. Henry, it's over. The storm, Maryland, is over. I'm speaking, John, the storm is over. Joe, the storm is over. The alcohol, the drilling, all that you've been on, it's over. You lost a loved one, it's over. God is already touching you in a special way. I want to tell you, the storm is over. And as I prayed this morning, I just a word coming to me. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But I want to pray that the storm in your life, wherever it might be, Father God, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the Most Holy Divine God, touch somebody that is home, touch the people in Kenya, touch those right now, touch Oklahoma, those bikers down there that are trying to make a sense out of the mass murder. In Buffalo, New York, trying to make sense out of the mass murder of one sick demon that came in and shot and killed people. The storm is over. God has given knowledge and wisdom to all of us. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the Holy Divine God, touch that boy, touch that girl. God will let you able. God, why don't you touch every mother, every sister, every brother? God, we ask you to illuminate the heart of mind. We lost everything. We lost the car. We lost the home. We lost our loved one. We thought we were secure. We lost the house, the fire, the storm, the floods. All that come, we lost everything. But I hear you saying in the spirit, Bishop, the storm is over. And I will say to you this morning, wherever you're going to do, the storm is over. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the storm is over right now for you. Ladies and bishops, what I need as a baby, you need the Holy Ghost power, like grandma and grandpa used to do. Go down on them knees and pray for God that's in the Holy Ghost. Oh, bye-bye, Shatta. God's going to send it. I can see it moving right now.
in the wrath of the Moses and the warning that
mind sickness is out there because of evil. Well, I just want you this morning to pray with me and say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. You're a bitter man because I'm singing. Thank him for what he already done. Thank him for what he's going to do. And this morning, I want to lift the name of Jesus up. And I want to lift the name of the Almighty God up where you can be blessed. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, and walk in the anointing of God. And every door that closes will be open up. I invoke the angels of Michael, Raphael, Bobby, and all the angels this month. And go to come and walk with you, whatever you're going through. Somebody has been with their knees and their ankles. Somebody, they've been busy all night. I'm getting revelation, Lord, and stuff and healing going on. Somebody came here, put your hands up to your ear. You're going to hear better, that left ear. Now put your hand on the right ear. Touch your nose. I'm opening up your pineal. I'm opening up your pineal gland. I'm opening up your heart gland. I'm opening up that thing to you right now. Because what's happening in the street, they've turned their back away from God. We got to come on back to God for every door that closed to be opened up. So I want you to claim your healing and claim your breakthrough this morning. Thank you. Thank you. People down in Boulder, Colorado, Glenville. People down in Buffalo, New York, so thank you. God knows what he's doing. Those down in Las Vegas, and we were there and going down. The flood and the storm in Texas, and we down in Arkansas, in the city. Those in Kenya are going to have no food, no water. I'm going to pray for them. That God touch them right now. Wherever you might be, glory, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody ought to thank you this morning. Somebody ought to lift some hands up and run around the house. Get some good water and drink it. Say, thank you. If you're able to drink water from somebody, can't get no water. I wish I had somebody know you. Say, thank you. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. When you know that you know that you know that you know. talk about healing. And the only way you can be healed is lift them holy hands up and surrender to God. The only way you surrender to God, you say, amen. There's one man, the God of the wind, the God of the water, the God of the universe. This morning, I want to bring you out of the sickness, out of the killing, out of the murder, out of the war. Nothing but peace. Dr. King said, peace. I quote Dr. King. He said that we shall overcome. And I want to tell you, amen will be the order of the morning. And I want to tell you, if you can just lift them hands up, I don't care how bad it seems. We done tried everything, every doctor. We went everywhere. But I want you to say this morning with me, amen. I just want you to lift the word up, amen, and let God do something spiritual for you. When you begin to say, amen, and as you say amen, that's going to be a blessing for you. And the church means you, the people that's in the church, people that's in the temple, people that's in the mosque. Allah, amen. Allah, Rabbah, God the great. Allah, Rabbah, Jehovah. Arm and rock, amen. Lift them hands for your healing. Cataract, that tumor. God, lift your hands up, God, speak to you.
Thank you. Sunday, May the 15th. Happy birthday to those that are celebrating. Praise the Lord God.
Injustice from our nation.
I must say this morning that racial injustice is still the black man's burden and the white man's shame. It is an unhappy truth that racism is a way of life for the vast majority of white Americans, spoken and unspoken, acknowledge and deny, subtle, sometimes not so subtle. The disease of racism permeates and poisons a whole body politic. And I can see nothing more urgent for America to work passionately and unrelentingly to get rid of the disease of racism. Something positive must be done. Everyone must share in the guilt, as individuals and as institutions. Government must certainly share the guilt. Individuals must share the guilt. Even the church must share the guilt. We must face the sad fact. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning when we stand to sing, in Christ there is no east nor west. We stand at the most segregated hour of America. The hour has come for everybody, for all institutions, the public sector and the private sector, work to get rid of racism. If we're to do it, we must honestly admit certain things and get rid of certain myths that have constantly been disseminated all over our nation. One is the myth of time. It is the notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. There are those who often sincerely say to the Negro and his allies in the white community, why don't you slow up? Stop pushing things so fast. Only time can solve the problem. If you will just be nice and patient and continue to pray, in 100 or 200 years, the problem will work itself out. Well, that is an answer to that myth. It is a time in the truth. It can be used either constructively or destructively. I'm sorry to say this morning that I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme righteous of our nation, the people on the wrong side,
use time much more
effectively
than the forces of good will.
It may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless effort and the persistent work of dedicated individuals who are willing to be co-workers with God. Without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. So we must have time and realize that the time is always right to do right. Now that is another effort that still gets around. It is a kind of over-reliance on the bootstrap philosophy. There are those who still feel that if the Negro is to rise out of poverty, if the Negro is to rise out of slum conditions, if he is to rise out of discrimination and segregation, he must do it all by himself. And so they say the Negro Negro must lift himself by his own bootstraps. They never stopped to realize that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. The people who say this never stopped to realize that creation made the black man's color a stigma. But beyond this, they never stopped to realize that they are people who were kept in slavery 244 years. 1863, the Negro was told that he was free as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation being signed by Abraham Lincoln. He was not given any land to make that freedom meaningful. It was something like keeping a person in prison for a number of years and suddenly discovering that that person is not guilty of the crime for which he was convicted. Just go up to him and say, now you're free. But you don't give him any bus fare to get to town. You don't give him any money to get some clothes to put on his back or to get on his feet again in life. Every code of jurisprudence would rise up against this. This is a very thing that our nation did to the black man. Simply said, you're free. And it left them there penniless, illiterate, not knowing what to do. And the irony of it all is that at the same time, the nation failed to do anything for the black man. Through an act of Congress, it was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did it give the land, it built land-grant colleges, teach them how to farm. Not only that, it provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, years unfolded, it provided low interest rates so that they could mechanize our farms. And to this day, thousands of these very persons are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies every year, not to fall. And these are so often the very tell Negroes that they must lift themselves by their own bootstraps. It's all right to tell a man to lift himself by his own bootstraps, but it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. We must come to see that the roots of racism are very deep in our country. And there must be something positive and massive in order to get rid of all of the effects of racism and the tragedies of racial injustice. Now that is another thing closely related to racism that I would like to mention as another challenge. We are challenged to rid our nation in the world of poverty. Like a monstrous octopus, poverty spreads its nagging, prehensile tentacles into hamlets and villages all over our world. 2/3 of the people of the world go to bed hungry at night. They are ill-housed, they are ill-nourished, they are shabbily clad. I've seen it in Latin America, I've seen it in Africa. I've seen this poverty in Asia. I remember some years ago, Mrs. King and I journeyed to that great country known as India. I never will forget the experience. It was a marvelous experience to meet and talk with the great leaders of India, to meet and talk with and speak to thousands and thousands of people all over that vast country. These experiences will remain dear to me as long as the cords of memory shall linger. But I say to you this morning, my friends, out of those depressive moments, I'm going to avoid being depressed. But it says, when the lone eye evidences of millions of people born to bed hungry at night, you're not going to avoid being depressed. When he sees with his own eyes God's children sleeping on the sidewalk at night. In Bombay, more than a million people sleep on the sidewalks every night. In Calcutta, more than 600,000 sleep on the sidewalks every night. They have no beds to sleep in. They have no houses to go in. How can one avoid being depressed? When he discovers that out of India's population, more than 500 million people, some 480 million, make an annual income of less than $90 a year. Most of them have never seen a doctor or a dentist. I noticed these things, something within me cried out, can we in America stand idly by and not be concerned